We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and a dear and trusted friend. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you have the story of the day, which is, of course, that the defensive coordinator, the interviews began yesterday with Ed Donatell, and Chuck Pagano, viewed as the guy outside the building that the Bears would have the most interest in. If you're moving on Ed Donatell, do you not move quickly?
Yeah, I would think so. Unless you want to talk to maybe one external candidate before you make a decision, but I would think you would hire Ed sooner rather than later. You know, look. The longer this process plays out, my guess, and this is only my hunch, but my guess is the worst things look for Ed to be promoted because, you know, he's already got an office in the building. You know him. You've already met with him. That's an easy move to make.
Is this win-win for the Bears, Brad? Because I think, you know, Chuck Pagano, if he is the only external candidate, or if he's the leading external candidate, he's got a good reputation. He definitely has, had a good tenure with the Colts as a head coach, and he was a defensive coordinator with the Ravens. And Ed Donatell does offer you the continuity. So I don't think either one of these choices, in my mind, are bad ones.
No, I don't think they're bad choices either. And there are a handful of teams in search of a defensive coordinator right now in the. The Bears' job is the one that's going to be coveted. If the Bears call you, you're going to be interested. And there's talent on that defense such that the Bears are going to be good on defense next year. They really are. I don't think you're going to see a big drop off at all. The Bears previously, you know, made a move after Super Bowl 41, and that didn't help things out. But it's not like they had a bad defense after Ron Rivera left. They just weren't as good there for a stretch until Rod Marinelli stepped up. So it's certainly an important move. I would think that they're certainly talking about more than just two candidates. You know, where this thing heads as we get into the weekend, I'm not sure, but I would, you know, sooner rather than later, you probably get this thing closed up, you know, by early next week anyway, you have to figure. And I think the focus right now is a coach with 34 experience. That's the preference that they would like to stay with that. I don't know if it's an absolute deal breaker, but that's the direction they're going right now. And it certainly makes sense, although you look back on this past season and, shoot, they were in a 34 defense probably less than 20% of the time because of the reliance on the sub package and how much nickel they played. You get into situations like that, and you've got four down linemen.
When you start talking about the defense coordinator and the idea of continuity versus a guy with more experience, how do you break that down? What is important to you in terms of having the guy in the room?
Well, I think, you know, it's continuity is obviously worth quite a bit, and you talk about having a guy there where you're not changing the playbook, The language isn't changing. The calls, the fundamentals that they're stressing at the individual positions and practice, none of that stuff's really shifting. It's the coaching points you lean toward on past tape, you know, all that stuff's the same. You go with a guy that's outside the building, and you're saying that we believe that, you know, this guy is better suited for a group, has better vision, and is going to produce better results. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens, because it's my belief in talking to people around the league that if Ed Donatell is not promoted, he's likely to depart, probably to join Vic Fangio in Denver. I don't think that's a done deal yet, but most people believe that's how things will play out if Ed is not promoted by the Bears.
You know, Brett,
but take that to the next logical conclusion. Does that mean they don't want him? If they know that he's gone, does that mean that they don't believe, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost...
I don't think so. You know, people have told me Ed really wants that job. Ed really wants to be coordinator. They've talked to him now. So, you know, if they didn't have any level of interest in Ed, I can't imagine them spinning their wheels, going through the motions of talking to him when this is kind of time sensitive. Had this whole situation played out a little bit sooner with Vic going to Denver, you know, maybe they get Todd Bowles. So you know, Chuck Pagano was in Carolina interviewing with the Panthers, who have got a secondary coach opening, but may reassign some titles on that staff. The Cardinals are interested in Pagano. You've read that the, you know, other teams are interested in Pagano. So he's probably going to have choices. So you need to move the process along pretty quickly.
Brad, I think you're right about the 3-4 versus 4-3. I mean, the Bears played a lot of those, you know, packages, which are sort of interchangeable. At the same time, you've drafted a defense that, you know, have traits. 3-4 defense have traits of guys, and I think that, you know, when you look at that, is that the other thing that kind of you can't overlook? Because when you hear the names like Greg Williams and Steve Wilks and guys who come from more traditional 4-3 type backgrounds, that kind of neglects the fact that the Bears have a roster full of guys who thrive or were drafted for this specific type of approach or this specific scheme.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a really good point, and I think that's why they're headed in the direction that they are. You know, they've got scouts now trained to look for players at those positions with those traits. You run a new defense, and all of a sudden the scouts have to get a new prototype for what they're looking for as well. Forget just the changes that they're making in the playbook and all that. You're switching a whole lot of stuff. Wilks has 34 experience from his time with the Chargers under Ron Rivera. And I know that when I talked to Ron about it a year or two after he'd gone to Carolina, you know, he said that the entire experience in San Diego had given him, you know, a deeper resume and more things to consider as a defensive guy, because he was learning, you know, some of the ins and outs of the 34 scheme. So while Wilks has primarily done 43 in his career, he does have some 34 experience. His name had been hopping around a little bit Thursday morning, but when I went to check that out, I couldn't find anything that for sure tied him to the Bears.
How you know, again, I understand the Ed Donatell situation. If you're going to move, you're going to move quickly. Pagano's got interest. How quickly do you imagine this will be resolved? Do you imagine when they finally meet the media on Monday, this could be finished? Is that too early?
I think there's a chance for that. Yeah, I think there's a chance for that. Probably 60% chance they've got it wrapped up by then, I would say. You know, is there a guy they want to talk to who's given someone his word that he'll meet them on Saturday for an interview? I don't know. You know, are they having to get queued up to meet with a guy or two now? That's possible. We'll have to wait and see. Now, I mean, it could play out longer than that, but you know, my guess is they want to move on this pretty quickly.
Brad, we'll let you go because we know we're getting antsy waiting for the Cody Parkey interview on the Today Show.
What time is that? Do you guys have a time for that?
It's kind of loosely structured. Yeah. Whatever time Cody wants to talk, he'll talk. What do you expect to hear? What could he say that could make an impact on a Brad Biggs?
I don't really watch the Today Show. I'll probably have some music on. I think my guess is this is going to be heavily faith-based. I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting. You know, at the beginning of the season when he missed some kicks and I would talk to him after the games, there would be a lot of faith references, and that sort of puzzled me. I know, guys in the locker room don't want to hear that kind of stuff when the kickers missed a kick or made a kick. You know, it's a bottom line business, and guys in the locker room respect other guys for having their beliefs. There's no question about that. Most guys sort of and Cody kept it to himself too. I don't know. He's kind of getting some national run now for talking about missing a kick that would have won a playoff game, which is what he's supposed to do. That's what a professional does. You talk about the game, win or loss, afterward. So it's all a little puzzling to me, and I know that the Bears would certainly be happier if he was on a plane to Los Angeles today, which is today's the day the Bears would have left to go play the Rams. Parkey missed the kick that would have won them the game. They could have played a lot better in a lot of other areas in that game to win it as well. But, it's possible that a Today Show appearance for him is one of the few national spotlight moments he's got remaining, guys. I don't know. He's a team spokesman for today, though, right?
Wow.
Yep.
All right, Biggsy.
Thanks,
thank
Brad.
You, bud.
Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs. His last appearance as the Bears spokesman. Maybe as an NFL spokesman.
A couple texters have checked in by saying, you know, wouldn't it be something if the Bears weren't happy about this, if they just cut him afterward?
Well,
I don't think that's going to happen today.
I don't think he's going to say anything that's going to get him cut.
No.
I mean, I think
don't
performance
you think, though, just
is what
with
gets you cut.
How that organization runs things, just him going on the show will probably irk them a little bit.
Here's hoping. Smully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
43-yard attempt from the right hash mark. Impossible! And the Eagles run out into the field, but there's still 5 seconds, so they've got to get back. He does it again.
What are you laughing at?
He's playing God's plan. That's hysterical. You're a madman. It's Mully and Haw on The Score, and that is Drake singing God's plan for you. And speaking of God's plan, Cody Parkey, again, you know, very religious man, a deeply religious person, also a failed field goal kicker, unfortunately, this season, since he was given $9 million guaranteed. He went on the Today Show this morning. It'll be run in Chicago in about an hour, but
yeah.
They broadcast it live out of New York, and our thanks to Sirius XM Radio, we have Cody Parkey's interview with the Today Show. Let's take a listen.
Yeah.
To the
it's not that long, so you don't have to worry about it going on too long. It's a long way to go
in detail, and what you learned that you didn't know. Let's hear it.
The reason you're here and the reason we're so excited to talk to you is because of the kind of person that you are and everything you did after that kick. But I have to ask you what you were thinking, you know, what in that moment and in your mind, did you know it had been tipped? Like, what was going through your mind?
No, you know, as a kicker, you know, you live for those moments. And I was 3 for 3 before that. I had a lot of confidence going into that kick. So I went out there and my long snapper and holder did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the wind moving a little bit. I said, all right, this is where I'm going to play it. And obviously I didn't know it was tipped or anything. I just went down and I thought I hit a pretty good kick, you know, felt good off my foot, and then looking up, and then I saw it hit the upright and then hit the crossbar, and I'm like, surely it'll go in. Unfortunately bounced towards me, but obviously I'm disappointed, that I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down, but I'll continue to keep my head held high because football is what I do. It's not who I am.
One of the things that struck, I think, all of us was in the aftermath, after the kick and after everyone had their emotions, you had a couple of things that went on. You looked up and you pointed up, and then later on there was a little kind of prayer circle among some players. And I was just wondering, like, what were you saying in that moment?
Yeah, so something I've always tried to do is, through good or bad, you know, give praise to the higher power, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And after the game, one of the coolest things, in my opinion, is just the prayer that we do, because you get done battling the other team for 60 minutes, and we all join in prayer, and it's just, we're just praying for safety and health, and that the team gets home safely on their plane and stuff like that. So it's really encouraging stuff, and it's something I look forward to.
Chicago can be a tough sports town. Have you been surprised by the reaction there? Have you been surprised by the reaction throughout this country to your response to what happened?
Yeah, so I haven't been on social media or anything like that.
Smart man.
Yeah, so a lot of good can come from it, and a lot of bad can come from it, but at the same time, I've gotten a lot of positive messages. Like I said earlier, I feel worse than anybody about missing that kick, because I wanted to make it more than anybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to hold my head high. And when things aren't going my way, I'm just going to continue to think positive and keep swinging.
Well, you were, I said it earlier, you're the classiest of class acts. You went in the locker room, you answered every question from reporters. And I want to read something that one of your teammates, Akeem Hicks, said. He said, "That's our guy. I'm going to ride with my guy. If you have that C on your helmet, I'm going to ride with you to the end. I don't care what happens on the field. We are together. That's it."
Akeem is a stand-up guy, and I think a lot of teammates stood up for me, from what I've heard, and that just shows you what kind of team we have. I mean, it's a family. It's a bond that, you know, these guys see me working hard every day, and they know all the effort we put into it year round. So it's really awesome to see that Akeem and everyone else stood up for me like that. I really appreciate it.
And speaking of family, your beautiful bride is here somewhere. Colleen is in our studio too.
Yes, hey, Colleen.
So you were witnessing, you know, what your husband went through. What do you think of this guy?
I could not be more proud of him. Obviously, like he said, the kick didn't go in, and we're getting through that, but just watching his character and everything shine through, which obviously stands above football in my eyes. So I'm super proud of him.
I love that. Yeah. Right after the game, you guys have a tradition, I guess, of driving home from Chicago. Yeah. You live in Florida, so that's like 2 days of driving. But you said you didn't really talk about the game. Was it like, honey, you missed a turn?
Yeah, it was more so like that. You know, it just gave us time to reflect on the season, and just honestly to get back to people. You know, realize how many people, you know, that are in our corner and that love us, and it just gave us time to reflect and realize how blessed we are.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
That's Kevin's editorial comment. That's it. They said goodbye after that. Yes.
You know, I think that
and it's going to be on in Chicago. Thanks to the Today Show for that. It's going to be on in Chicago
next hour. Yeah.
Next hour.
Just after 8 o'clock.
But
we'll be talking to Jeff Joniak.
Why would you want to hear it? I mean, he didn't say anything there at all.
I think that
what I do, not who I am.
The content of it wasn't anything that was earth shattering. It's not gonna surprise anything. There was no new ground covered. Cody Parkey comes across as a very nice guy, but that we knew that before. Cody Parkey is a guy that we were repeating ourselves. We have empathy for. He handled himself, but you know what? There was no, I don't know the reason for him going to New York for the,
why do we have to be reminded
platform.
Of that? Why do you have to remind us of that? Does anyone in Chicago want to hear
what
that?
What was the purpose of going to New York and being on a national
television show? Because his wife's proud of him.
Well,
I mean, I mean, listen, that's the rarest of all men. If his wife is proud of him, hey, knock it off. But I mean, boy, honey, you are. That was an astounding reaction to that horrible miss.
You still get paid, right?
Yeah. And the other question that bothered me.
Quit.
I know this is just, I know I'm an idiot, but it's their tradition to drive home from Chicago. I mean, the guys bounced around the league. It's their tradition to drive home after the end of a season, but not from Chicago necessarily. I don't think they drove here to drive home to Florida.
No.
Did they have the police escort take them all the way down to Florida?
This was the first season with the Bears.
They all laughed at something like he was making a joke. I mean, is it funny in any way? Oh.
No, if you're a Bears player watching this at home, again, this is not going to be something you want to see. This is not something you want to be reminded of. This is not
I thought for sure they would ask him. Like he said, he hadn't been on social media. I thought for sure that this was going to turn into some kind of, you know, did you receive death threats? Did you receive?
Well, because let's say this. I mean,
and yeah, I don't know that that was.
No, he has been. There have been some vile and ugly threats on social media.
Again, there are idiots in the world. Breaking news.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot. It shouldn't happen at all.
Never.
And I thought he was going to address that. That I thought was the purpose of this.
I don't know what other hook there'd be, to be honest with you. I mean, a guy misses field goal. What about, you know, hey, there's a lot of, you know, anonymous bullying going on in
social
media.
After hearing the interview and seeing it, Molly, the hook was that it was on NBC.
The hook is that it is the hook. It went wide, it went left.
The double doink was the hook.
And well, it was a block kick, though. Let's remember that.
Well, yeah, I think
the hook was, it was on NBA, and they thought they could get some Bear fans to watch, and we just spared you the indignity of having to do so.
And this is Cody Parkey trying to change the trajectory of the offseason for the
Bears. Maybe the plan of the interview changed in the last 24 hours. If the Bears said something.
You know, I mean, the real shock there is that the interview didn't end.
That they aired it.
The shock, guys, is that you didn't hear someone yell last question as they were doing the interview.
If the Bears were that concerned, they would have nixed it. You know, I don't know that the Bears got involved at all.
Maybe they know he's not going to be an employee.
Last question,
they don't really
care.
The Today Show's credential is being revoked.
Sports Radio 6-7 and Score. It is a delight to welcome in our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, Mr. Joe Fortenbaugh. 95.7 The Game and the Sharp 600 podcast. And Joe, I know we talk a lot about gambling, but that's just what you do, not who you are. No, that's not true. Good morning, Joe.
Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. Bulls at Warriors. I'd imagine that the phone lines are packed. We got a huge game tonight at Oracle.
Well, it's a makeup. And I mean, Bulls, the Bulls owe them one.
It's a revenge game, Joe. We're calling it here in Chicago.
Yeah, big spot here for the Bulls. Yeah. At least you're going to avoid Boogie Cousins. I mean, analyzing this guy's return date for the last 4 months has been, shall we say, trying. But that's what we do in Sports Talk Radio. We find all the great stories, and we try to dissect all of them. Warriors are 15-point favorites tonight. I'll tell you what, it's always tough to bet against Golden State, but they're only covering at about a 40% clip this season. They're one of the worst cover teams in the National Basketball Association. If you go back and you look at the start of this run 5 years ago until now, each season they have gotten worse and worse against the spread because they've become so popular and so overvalued. So not saying you should play the Bulls tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a backdoor cover at 15 points.
How much did you enjoy the Eagles victory, Eagles fan?
Well, you know, that's a tough question to ask in this particular radio interview.
That's why I asked it, Joe.
I'll say this. There are teams that, and everyone knows this, no matter who you're a diehard of, especially when you're from a great sports city like a Chicago or a Boston or a Philadelphia, you've got the teams you hate growing up. And for me, it was always the New York teams, and it's always been Dallas. I hate the Cowboys. The Bears are a team that, since I was born in 80, have always been an interesting story. Walter Payton was someone I was always a big fan of. Jim McMahon, Dicka, obviously the personality is larger than life. And then working all the way through, like the Eagles and the Bears used to have some good playoff matchups in the McNabb-Urlacher days. So The Bears have always been a team, and this isn't just a pander to the city. It's always been a city I've liked, and it's always been a team that they don't rub you the wrong way, not when you're from Philadelphia. So I'm watching this game last week. Obviously, I like the Bears in the teaser plays. I like the Bears to cover the spread. My point for a while has been, and I'm like on the wrong side of this argument in Philadelphia, they won their first Super Bowl ever last season. Like, to me, that's house money. Everybody on that team is on house money. Everybody eats for free. No room for criticism the next year. And yet, Doug Peterson came under so much criticism before the season started. The team, the players have been criticized. I couldn't believe how aggressive everyone got with these guys after they finally gave everyone what they wanted. So coming into the playoffs, I was just happy that they were there. If they were going to lose to Chicago, the Bears were a great story with the defense, with Khalil Mack, all that stuff. But to see the way that happened late, I'll give you a story. So my mom is in town helping with the second kid we just had about 6 weeks ago. And the older son, and I've told this story before, he's going to be 2 next month. He has been a real serious good luck charm in gambling. He was born Super Bowl weekend when I laid the points with the Patriots. They went down, 28-3, and then came back to win. But the night he was born, Golden State covered the spread, and I bet just to test him. This other one, when he was born, November 29th, the Warriors were playing as well. I bet that game to test the spread, the Warriors covered too. So it's like, all right, maybe I got a couple good luck charms. So during the Bears game, my mom's this diehard Eagle fan as well, and late in that game, she's holding my youngest son, Wyatt, who's only, 6 weeks old, and again, not to open up a wound here, but when Cody Parkey was lining up for the field goal, we were both rubbing his little bald head for good luck. And, we all know the outcome there. And, yeah, so, I mean, here's what we'll do. We obviously got to put the Bear loss behind us, but if the baby is going to project any more good luck, that's why gambling exists, because at least we can try to make some money to make ourselves feel better moving forward.
That's why you have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I got to tell you, there is an element here. I mean, this could be Nick Foles' last game with the Eagles, right? There's no way they're going to bring him back. They got their quarterback of the future. This could be the ultimate goodbye. And obviously, they got beaten pretty good down there, and they go back. And you talk about the Bulls-o and the Golden State Warriors won. Well, certainly. You would think that the Eagles want to have a different performance and a different outing against this team. I mean, I don't know. What is it, 8 points? It's the biggest spread of the weekend.
Big number. You see 8-point spreads in really bad scenarios, or you see 8-point spreads with an injured quarterback or bad teams traveling to good teams. An 8-point spread is an absolute monster here. Now, that's not to say jump on the Eagles, because the Saints are well-rested and they play very good football in the Voodoo Dome. But it's been 3 weeks since the Saints played football. You got to remember, they had the bye, and they also rested their starters in Week 17. And the last thing you want to do is start slow against the Eagles and give them that reason to believe that they can compete with you. I think the big problem for Philadelphia in this game is that they're down to like their 6th and 7th starting corner. Backs. They are absolutely depleted in the secondary, and the Bears were able to take advantage of that late in the game. Trubisky had a couple real nice throws to set up that field goal opportunity. They should have been doing more of that earlier in the game. They should have been a little bit more aggressive going after those guys. And I think that's exactly what Drew Brees is going to do here, and that's going to be the biggest problem. Now, flip side, the last time these two got together, 48-7, it was an embarrassment, but that was Carson Wentz, not Nick Foles. So what I'm thinking here is that obviously the Saints are going to be a very popular 6-point teaser play. A lot of people are probably going to tie them up with the Rams by knocking the Rams from 7 down to 1. I find that to be a relatively safe play this weekend, but more on that later. I would look to the over in this Saints-Eagles game. It's sitting around 51. I think the Eagles are going to find a way to get theirs. Since Foles took over, 4 straight wins, 4 straight covers. The offense looks pretty solid. Nick Foles ranks number 1 in the NFL in quarterback efficiency when facing pressure. Even the Saints coming after him, the crowd noise, nothing really rattles this guy. You've got people that are born that are excitable, eccentric people, and then you have people that genetically are just very cool, very calm, very difficult to rattle. And Foles is one of those guys. He's just a cool customer. I mean, he's got a whole lot going on outside of football that he's trying to focus on. Parenthood, to him, it really is just a game. He's not playing for money. He's not really playing for legacy. He's just living his life and doing his thing. And that kind of translates onto the field. So I would say that I think the Eagles are going to find a way to move the ball down the field. They're going to find a way to put points on the board. I do not doubt New Orleans' offense in this situation. I think a lot of times you hear about square plays being overplays. 51 points, though, I think both these teams light up the scoreboard. In this particular game, the over would be what I'd be looking to play.
Joe, looking at the AFC, I think it's become almost a trendy pick to look at the Colts and see an upset possibility. I like the way they run the ball. The Chiefs obviously give up 5 yards per rush, but it's still the Patrick Mahomes. You never quite know what you're going to get out of a first-time playoff starter, and yet he's the MVP. How do you see that game, and what are you thinking about the Colts' chances?
Again, this might be, and I said this last week with Colts-Texans, this might be the toughest game for me to handicap of the week. The Chiefs have not won a playoff game in Kansas City since Joe Montana threw for 276 yards in a 27-24 wild card win over Pittsburgh, January 8th, 1994. That is the last time they won at home. And Andy Reid has a history of coming up short in big spots. I mean, I saw it for years in Philadelphia. And then last year against Tennessee, they melted down. 5 years ago in Indianapolis, they had the monster second half lead and they blew that. Granted, none of that involved Patrick Mahomes, but I can't get that out of my mind. If it was a small sample size, like Sean McVay losing last year to the Falcons, that's one thing. But Reed has a history of this. Reed has a history of looking good and then throwing it away late. So that's the one thing in the back of my mind I have to take into consideration here. I'm also worried about Kansas City's defense. And then you got this Colts team that's won 10 of 11. They can play quality defense. They have a good quarterback. Frank Reich might be a first-year head coach, but he knows Andy Reid. Remember, he's from Andy Reid's staff. He was there with Doug Peterson, then went over with Doug Peterson to Philadelphia. These guys are all familiar with one another, so I don't know if the Chiefs are going to have a whole lot of wrinkles in this game. And not only that, if you've got temperatures down in the 30 degrees, Tyreek Hill and all that speed, are these guys going to be able to blow away the Indianapolis defense? That's a concern for me as well. We've seen underdogs cashing like crazy. Underdogs have cashed 10 straight games in the playoffs dating back to last year. Dogs were 4-0 against the spread last weekend, and the Colts are the really popular team here, catching about 5.5. What I'm looking at is playing the over on the Indianapolis team total. Based on the total for this game and the spread, Indy's over-under should be about 26 points. I think they can get to 27 or more. We saw what they did in Houston last week. On the road this season, they're averaging somewhere around 30 points per game, 29.8 points per game. I don't trust Kansas City's defense to get a lot of stops. If this turns into a shootout, that's good for us because the over-under is 57 points. If the Chiefs look fantastic, that means the Colts are going to be throwing the ball very late into the game. That's good for us. And overall, the Chiefs' defense is highly questionable. That's good for us. The only thing that worries me is that the Colts come out, establish a running game, eat up 7-8 minutes on the clock, and Kansas City never finds a rhythm. That's the only way we get burned here, in my opinion. So I'm going to play over the Colts' team total of 26 points.
So what are your exact plays then? We haven't been through everything. What is it that you're actually going to play, or what are you recommending here?
All right, so over 51.5 points, Eagles-Saints, we already hit on that, yep. And over 26 points for the Colts as a team in the game against the Chiefs. For the other two matchups, there's nothing I love this weekend. Like last weekend, loved the Chargers at Baltimore. This weekend, I'm going to side with two picks in the Charger-Patriot game. I'm going to play the Patriots in the first half. That should be somewhere around New England -2. And I'm going to play New England for the game somewhere around -4. Now, this is difficult to do because the Chargers were my Super Bowl pick before the season started. And I've been riding with them quite a bit down the stretch. But I hate a couple things here. There are two things I really hate about the Chargers. Number one, the situation. So they win, more games than anybody in the AFC this year. They tie with Kansas City, but they lose the tiebreaker. So their reward for the best record in the AFC is a 3,000-mile trip to Baltimore to play at 10 a.m. their time against the Ravens in the wild card round. They win that game. They fly 3,000 miles back to Los Angeles. Now they got to take a trip all the way to Foxborough to play another 10 a.m. start time against the New England Patriots, who are 8-0 at home this season, 6-2 against the spread, absolutely lethal in the divisional round against the number. This Patriot team is the worst version of the Patriots we've seen in quite some time. I don't think they're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden become a juggernaut. But you give them 2 weeks to prepare, you give them home field, you give them a Charger team that has all this travel and jet lag, that's a big advantage, especially in the first half. I think the Patriots come out and get on them early. Remember, we talked about this before. Outside of last week against the Ravens, every big game the Chargers have played this year, they have lost the first quarter. The Rams game, the second Chiefs game, the Seattle game, every big game they have that you go to, they lost the first quarter, they start slow. Except last week. And a lot of that was because Lamar Jackson could not get anything going with the Baltimore offense. Phillip Rivers looked a little questionable in that game. He looked like he was hesitant to pull the trigger. I think he's going to be more aggressive this week. But I think the Patriots get on him early, so I'd lay the 2 in the first half. And I do think the Patriots get him in the game. This just feels like it's going to be too much for the Chargers to overcome at Gillette. I know Rivers wants to exercise those 2007 demons, but there's so much working against them. And keep this in mind, too. The Chargers are very sloppy on special teams. We talked about this last week. They gave up a fake punt either against Denver or Oakland, and then the following week they gave up a fake punt again. I don't know how that happens. You can get rope-a-doped once, but then the next week to not make the adjustments, that's sloppy. That's a lack of attention to detail. So you had that happen, and then last week they had a field goal blocked, they had a punt blocked. They are really suspect on special teams. And New England, Belichick prides himself on special teams. Belichick got his start on special teams. He loves special teams. He puts more emphasis on it than any coach in the business. I'm not going to be surprised if there's a trick play in this thing. I'm not going to be surprised if New England dominates on special teams and that ends up being the difference. Keep that in mind. I'll lay the 4 with the Patriots for the game. I'll lay the 2 with the Patriots in the first half. The only game we haven't talked about then would be the Rams and the Cowboys. Look, this is a huge spread. It's Rams -7, over under 49.5. I know a lot of people like what they saw from Dallas last week. Seattle had an awful game plan in that game. Awful game plan. You don't need me to reiterate it, but Brian Schottenheimer was way too conservative for a playoff game, especially when you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback. The Cowboys on the road this season, 3-5, averaging just 17 points per game. I think Wade Phillips and the Rams defense are going to dial something up for Dak Prescott. They're going to make his life difficult. And if the Rams can come out and score early in this game, Dallas is not built to get into a shootout. Dallas is not built to play from behind. They need to be right there in the game with you, utilizing Ezekiel Elliott, and I think that's going to be a big problem. I know a lot of people think about McVay losing in the playoffs last year. It's a one-game sample size. I think he's going to learn from that and be hungry from that. They've had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. A lot of Cowboy fans will be in L.A. It's going to be a popular 6-point teaser play. I'm actually going to lay the 7 with the Rams. I think they're going to come out and make a statement in this game, and I think the Cowboys are probably just happy they got past Seattle. This is going to be a tough matchup for them. As long as Jared Goff is put in a good position, and I think he will be because he's had 2 weeks to get ready, I think the Rams cruise past Dallas here.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe. Enjoy the weekend.
Always a pleasure, boys. Talk to you next week.
All right, pal. That's our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. And we do have some prop bets, too, early Super Bowl prop bets. So that's always fun to look at. We'll get into all that stuff moving forward. We have Jeff Joniak ready to join us next, and we'll ask him how he views this season and how damaging the loss of Vic Fangio is and whether Ed Donatell should be the man.
He would know Ed Donatell pretty well from being at Hallis Hall all the time.
We'll talk to him next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.